أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات. We were discussing the concept of the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and our discussion has reached the point where we were talking about that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are the only mu'arrif, only personalities who have the right to introduce the Holy Quran in its totality. No one can be the mu'arrif and introducer of Quran and the haqiqat of Quran and its ta'wil, the real hidden meaning, except the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, because they are having the highest level of taharat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى طَهَّرَنَا وَعَصَمَنَا وَجَعَلَنَا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ وَحُجُبًا عَلَى عِبَادِهِ وَجَعَلَنَا مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَجَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ مَعَنَا لَا نُفَارِقُهُ وَلَا يُفَارِقُنَا. The hadith says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly has made us tahir, clean, and protected us and made us the witnesses. Ja'alana shuhada, Allah made us the witnesses. Ala khalqihi, over his creatures. Wa hujuban ala ibadihi, and the curtains over his slaves, servants. And Allah made us with the Quran, and Allah made the Quran with us. جَعَلَنَا مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَجَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ مَعَنَا لَا نُفَارِقُهُ وَلَا يُفَارِقُنَا. So neither we don't get separated from Quran, and the Quran does not get separated from us. So apart from the Hadith al-Saqalain, which all of you know already, we have clear evidences proving that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are 24/7, 365, and beyond the days and the calculations of days and nights since the beginning of the creation of the universe till the end and the last day of life on this planet, they have ittihad and unity with the Holy Quran. The haqiqat of Ahlul Bayt, the batin and reality of Ahlul Bayt is muttahid and unified with the batin and hidden reality of Quran, and it will, you know, this the batin, which is the same, like I was saying, telling you in the last lesson, that if Quran was, it was possible for Quran to come in the human form, the Quran personified, it would be in the form of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and if it was possible for the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to come in the form of a book, it will be the Holy Quran. So they both are mazhar and majla, their jalwa is appearing in each other in its totality. So that's why Imam Ali alayhi salam used to see the wahi. He didn't say, I only, you know, so in the hadith, see what Imam Ali says, that in his hadith, he says, Ara, the Nahd al-Balagha, Khutbah 192. That's where he says, Ara Nur al-Wahi wa Risala. I see the Nur of the revelation, Nur of the Wahi, and the Risalat, the messengership, wa ashummu rihan nubuwa. And I smell the smell of the nubuwat, the prophethood, that means the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this nur of nubuwat is something which can be seen, but again it can be seen by somebody who also has the nuraniyyah. And the wahi itself, the Quran, which is tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of words, is also something, the batin of Quran is something which is visible, but it can be visible by those whose nuraniyat is in sync and harmonious with the nuraniyat of Quran. So just like I gave you the example that Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had mentioned, from since the time the caravan departed Egypt, they were long, long distance away from the residence of Prophet Yaqub. But since the time the caravan departed Egypt and Prophet Yusuf gave, the brothers, finally his brothers who deceived him finally apologized. They did sajda towards Allah in front of Prophet Yusuf and apologized to Prophet Yusuf. And he said, لا تصريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. That means you don't have to be repenting, you know. No need to be khajil and repenting. So basically Allah will forgive you, and He is the best of the merciful. So basically then he gave his shirt to be given to his father. So since the time caravan departed, Prophet Yusuf smelled the smell of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. This is the smell of nubuwwat, the same kind of smell that we are talking about. So basically, in order to understand the haqiqat of obviously the haqiqat of Quran and haqiqat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, it's beyond the comprehension of the human mind, you know, to understand in its reality. And that's what I told you in the last class, last lesson, that what we are obliged is not to have the ma'rifat of the shakhsiyatun haqiqiyya of Ahlul Bayt, the real personality which is beyond our reach, beyond our imagination. It's so high that we cannot comprehend. What we are obliged in Islam is to have the ma'rifat of their legality of their personality, legality in shakhsiyat-e hukuki, how we say in Farsi, the legality of the personality, which means what we are legally, Islamically, shar'an obliged to do towards them. What we are obliged to do towards the Ahlul Bayt is to obey the walayat and imamat. Isn't that right? To accept them as our wali and awliya and imams. and to obey them as our Imam and Khalifa and Mawla. This is the legal aspect of their personality. This is the, when we are talking about the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt, this is what we mean to discover an in-depth understanding of the legal aspect of their shakhsiyat, not the real aspect of their shakhsiyat, which is muttahid with Quran. That's not in our reach to do that. So we find that the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam has its own price to be paid. Whoever has the real love of Ahlul Bayt will always pay its price. It's not easy, and it is not easy to come, it's not easy to remain, to survive, to sustain, it is not easy to be protected. Sahl ibn Hunayf rahmatullahi alayh wa salamullahi alayh is one of the greatest ashab of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And he is one of the strong supporters of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of Siffin against Muawiyah, la'natullah alayh, and one of the strong lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Sahl ibn Hunayf, when he passed away, Imam Ali alayhi salam, minimum 15 takbirat, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he recited the Salatul Janaza, minimum 15 takbirat was recited. In Salatul Mayyit we have 5, isn't it right? Like for Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited 75 takbirat. You don't find anywhere in the history that for any mu'min, 75 takbirat are recited in Salatul Mayyit. That's the only person whom at least I have read in the history, and that's Hazrat Hamza salamullahi alayhi, who was part of Ahlul Bayt, for whom Prophet recited 75 takbirat. So when the news of the news of the death of Sahl ibn Hunayf reached Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he said, "Law ahabbani jabalun latahafat." That means even if a mountain loves me, it will be destroyed. It will be, you know, just like if you open up something and you basically, it gets it destroyed. So basically the love makes you sacrifice yourself for the sake of your beloved, isn't it right? So this is exactly what happens to all those who love Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they pay this price. Even in that famous Hadith al-Qudsi, the end result that we learn is the same end result. You know, man abadani faqad arifani, whoever performs my ibadat, Allah said, will end up having my ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is the end result of ibadat. وَمَنْ عَرَفَنِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي, whoever has my ma'rifat will end up having my love. So love comes after the ma'rifat. Ma'rifat comes after the action, after you do the ibadat completely and properly. So a ma'rifat is the result of the ibadat, and love of Allah and love of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is the result of the ma'rifat. So those who have the ma'rifat will have the love. Love is a higher entity, higher than ma'rifat. So, and then وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ عَرِفَنِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَقَدْ أَحْبَبْتُهُ, whoever loves me, I will end up loving him, Allah says. وَمَنْ أَحْبَبْتُهُ فَقَدْ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَقَدْ أَحْبَبْتُهُ, I miss one thing. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَقَدْ أَشَاكَنِي, this is what I missed. Whoever loves me will end up having deep love towards me. Ishq means the deep love. وَمَنْ أَشَقَنِي فَقَدْ أَشَقْتُهُ, and whoever has deep love towards me, I will end up having deep love towards him. وَمَنْ أَشَقْتُهُ فَقَدْ قَتَلْتُهُ, and whomsoever I end up having deep love towards, I will kill him. Allah says, فَقَدْ قَتَلْتُهُ, I will kill him. So basically a person becomes shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ قَتَلْتُهُ فَعَلَيَّ دِيَتُهُ whomever I kill, his diyat and blood money is on me. And then Allah says, وَأَنَا دِيَتُهُ, and I am the blood money. So the shaheed, the reward of the shaheed is ununderstandable, unfathomable for us, because Allah Himself is the reward for the shaheed. So love has its own price to pay. I read somebody was praying in front of the Ma'soom, that is saying that please pray to Allah to provide His love for me. Please pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so He loves me. So, and the Ma'soom alayhi salam said, لو تستجب لك هذه الدعوة أريق دمك في سبيل الله. If this dua of yours get accepted, your blood will be shed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe strongly that the love of the Ahlul Bayt will always bring the shahadat, and this is the end result of the love of Ahlul Bayt in this world. And obviously throughout the life it is focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Nahjul Balagha, Al-Hikmah, the Hikmat number 111 in Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam says, Man ahabbana ahlal bayt falyasta'id lil faqr jilbaban. Whoever loves us, Ahlul Bayt, must prepare for poverty as his dress. So basically, we will become faqir. So true love of Ahlul Bayt will make us faqir. This is a very clear verdict from Ahlul Bayt, which is unchallengeable. Anyone who has true love like Hazrat Khadija, even if she makes a big amount of money, her personal life will be like a faqir person. The whole money will belong to Allah and the Prophet, not for herself. Her personal life is like faqir, isn't that right? So it doesn't matter how much money you make, but your personal life will be like a faqir. That's the one of the signs of the love of Ahlul Bayt in this life. So we find that just like it is not possible for the mountains to tolerate the haqiqat and batin of Quran. If لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن, Quran says لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا. Isn't that right? من خشية الله. So we find that the Quran, if it was revealed on a mountain, and the mountain would be destroyed and basically dispersed and destroyed. So that's what we learn in the light of the verse. Similarly, if the walayat of Ahlul Bayt is no different, and inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa-abayna an yahmilnaha wa hamalaha al-insan. Isn't that right? So we presented the amanat on the heavens and earth and mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا, they rejected. أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا, to carry it. All of those categories of existences, the heavens, then earth and mountains, rejected to carry the amanat. And حَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, it was the jahil human who usurped it. Jahil human who did the ghasb and carried the amanat. Innahu kana zaluman jahula. Certainly the human is extremely zalim and extremely jahil. Zaluman jahula, because human is the only category of existence that Allah created who usurped the amanat of Ahlul Bayt, which is narrated in the tafsir as amanat is the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So the mountains were not able to carry the haqiqat of Quran, it would disperse into pieces if it was presented over the mountains. They cannot tolerate the greatness of Quran despite their strength. And likewise, the walayat of Ahlul Bayt is also not in the reach of the mountains to stand it and to tolerate the greatness. It is also important to remember, as we are discussing the concept of the intertwined relation between the the haqiqat of Quran and haqiqat of Ahlul Bayt, so we realize our responsibility towards their walayat and to them have the ma'rifat and their love. It has to be understood that Quran is not a book which is totally silent. Yes, it is silent, like Imam Ali al-Salam has said once to some of those who were making a silly argument in front of him. So he said, about the Quran, that this is بَيْنَ الدَّفَّتَيْنِ لَا يَنْتَقُ بِلِسَانِ وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ تَرْجُمَانِ. This Quran is between two, bindings, in other words, and it doesn't talk with a tongue. It requires a spokesperson, لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ تَرْجُمَانِ. And he also says in one of the statements that فَاسْتَنْتِقُوهُ, if you can make it speak. People cannot make the Quran speak. In that sense, obviously, it's perfectly true. You cannot make the Holy Quran speak in a language openly, physically like that. So in that sense, it's perfectly right. But in another sense, the Quran is by Imam Ali al-Salam himself in khutbah number 147 in Nahjul Balagha, talking about the Holy Quran, he says, فَهُوَ بَيْنَهُمْ شَاهِدٌ صَادِقٌ وَصَامِتٌ نَاطِقٌ. And then my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi حَفُظَهُ اللَّهُ, was saying that, well, let me first translate the sentence of Nahjul Balagha. Now Ali Salam says, فَهُوَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that means the Quran among them, شَاهِدٌ صَادِقٌ, is a witness and a truth teller. It has the sifat of shahadat, that means it is bearing witness, plus it is sadiq, it's saying the truth, a truth teller. وَصَامِتٌ نَاطِقٌ, and it's a silent speaker. Samit, it's silent, plus natiq, it's also a speaker. So the same Imam Ali al-Islam is also calling in his khutbah number 147, calling Quran to be shahid, calling Quran to be sadiq, calling Quran to be samit, and calling the Quran to be natiq. Now my teacher was saying, shahadat, the concept of witness in Islam, requires for the shahid, even in our regular conflicts, then we have differences with each other and the humans have conflicts and we go to the Islamic court system. We don't go to the kafir court, which is haram in Islam in the fatwa of all the maraji, and it's clearly against the nas of Quran. يُرِدُونَ أَن يَتَحَكَّمُوا إِلَى الطَّاهُوتِ لَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. Isn't it right? So we don't turn to the court of kufr, but we have our own system. We go to the Jama'u Shara'it, Mujtahid, the conditions for fulfilling Mujtahid or his Wakil. For our resolution of disputes where we don't have the Islamic government, for wherever we, when we have an Islamic government, if you happen to live in that country, then obviously it will be your job to go to the Islamic Qadi. Isn't it right? That's the right way of handling the disputes. So even in our conflicts, Islam in Kitab al-Qadha, in the Book of Judgments, our fiqh, our sharia says that when the shahid is called, the shuhud, the witnesses are called by the qadi, all of them need to be eyewitnesses. Isn't that right? Shuhud al-ayan, that means they have seen the crime taking place with their eyes. And not just that, but their witnesses has to be mumasil, resembling each other. If one shahid says that I saw the crime taking place at 4 p.m. the other one says no, it is 7:30 a.m. you think the qadi is going to accept these two witnesses? Is going to prove something in Islam when their witnesses are contradictory? There is a munafaq between their witness. Obviously the shahadat and witness has to be mumasil, similar to each other. So there are a whole bunch of conditions, but the bottom line, what I was saying is, the concept of shahadat and witness naturally requires you to be an eyewitness, and you are seeing it, then you are eligible to narrate it in front of the judge. If you never saw, nobody is going to call you to be a shahid. Shahid for what? You never saw it happening. Isn't it right? So when Imam Ali, my teacher said, when Imam Ali is calling the Quran to be shahid, that means Quran has the power to see all the aqaid and all the amal and actions that all the humans are doing towards the Holy Quran. Quran is currently witnessing the amal and aqaid of every single person who is mukallaf, is under watch of Quran. Plus, it is sadiq, another attribute that it's a truth teller. In order to be a truth teller, you would be able to speak. You don't call a statue, this statue is sadiq. When you call it, the statue cannot speak. You don't use the word sadiq for a statue which cannot speak. You use the word sadiq for something which is able to speak. Isn't it right? Likewise, Imam Ali used the word samit, he's silent, plus natiq, he's able to speak. He's the spokesperson, he's natiq, he can talk. So the same Imam Ali is calling the Quran to be shahid, plus sadiq, plus natiq. It has to be very clear in our minds. So it has the power to speak. It is witnessing our actions and our beliefs. When in other hadith, where Imam Ali says, "Fal Quran amirun wa zajir, amirun zajir." That means Quran is commanding and stopping. It's commanding. That means it's commanding towards all those things which Allah has commanded us to do, and zajir, it is blocking and stopping us from all those harams and things that Allah prohibited upon us. Wasamitun natib, it's a silent speaker. Silent and speaker. Hujjatullahi ala khalqihi, the hujjat of Allah on his creatures. Akhizun alayhi misaqahum, Allah is going to Quran is going to taking the misaq and covenant of the people, how whether or not they practiced according to their amal and actions was according to Quran or not. This is what Quran is going, that's the misaq that Quran is taking. On the day of judgment, this Quran will speak up. And see, not only on the day of judgment, let's go back to this world. The Prophet has said in his hadith that Rubba Talin al Qurana wal Quranu yal'anuhu. There are so many reciters of Quran that Quran sends la'nat upon them. Rubba Talin al Qurana wal Quranu yal'anuhu. So many reciters of Quran are such that Quran itself curses them. So let's not go to Yawm al-Qiyamah, Day of Judgment, we are not there yet. But even in this world, Quran sends the la'nat. So every ayat that we cross by and I recite, if I don't practice the contents and I just move forward, this ayat is now a hujjat upon me. And obviously I am subject, I am liable to its contents. If I go against it, I am held accountable. There are people who make their own policies and then they turn to the Holy Quran after making their policies, and this kind of behavior will land them into what they are trying to say is that they are leading the Quran. Isn't it right? So the hadith of the Prophet has said that don't make the Quran ahead in front of you, amam, in front of you, and don't let the Quran to be behind you. So when do you make somebody ahead of you, and you are giving him the leading role, let the Quran take the leading role towards your lifestyle. Your lifestyle should be defined by the policies of Allah and the Quran and the values and the principles and the rulings. If you happen to put Quran behind your back, that means you are standing ahead. You are making your own policies that fit your own temporary lifestyle of this dunya with the kuffar, to please the kuffar, kufr and nifaq, and zulm and tahut, and you make Quran behind your back. That means you are trying to reinvent the wheel and make a new sharia in the presence of the final sharia of Rasulullah, because you think you are over smart and intellectual. Isn't it right? So we can make our own rules in the presence of the rules and ahkam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This kind of behavior, zujja fi qafahu fa yaqdhifahu fi jahannam. Quran is going to hit this person on his back and throw him on the, you know, into the hell, Prophet said. Anybody who makes the Quran behind his back, that means he takes the leading role, he defines his own policies of life, and let the Quran follow him, Quran is never going to follow you. Okay, you try to make Quran follow you? Fine, the same Quran is now going to hit you from your back to make sure you enter the hell. This is the living book. This is a witness over your actions. It's Shahidun Sadiq. So this is the hujjat of Allah on the entire creatures. And so coming back to the point that we believe in the Quranun Takwini and Quranun Tadwini. Quranun Takwini, if people realize after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, if people realize their responsibility towards the Holy Quran, they would never turn their backs towards the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. This is exactly because of the fact that they turned their backs towards Quran. That's why they turned their backs towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we have hadith where it's narrated in Basair al-Darajat that the Rawi Ibn Kathir says, Hajjajtu ma'a Abi Abdullah alayhi salam. I was doing the Hajj along with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Falamma sirna fi ba'd al-tariq. When we were on our way, sa'ida ala jabalin fa ashrafa. Imam alayhi salam ascended a mountain and he was taking a look, watching, supervising. فَنَظَرَ إِلَى النَّاسِ. He looked towards the people. فَقَالَ مَا أَكْثَرَ الْبَدِيجِ وَأَقَلَّ الْحَجِيجِ. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, how much is the noise and how less are the pilgrims, the hujjaj, the hajis. فَقَالَ لَهُ دَاوُدُ الرُّقِّي. Dawood al-Ruqqi said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ هَلْ يَسْتَجِيبُ اللَّهُ دُعَاءَ هَذَا الْجَمْعَ الَّذِي أَرَى. Is Allah going to accept the dua of this gathering which I see? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, وَيْحَكَ يَا سُلَيْمَانِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive the shirk. Isn't it right? Quran has already said, you know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ لِمَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So Allah can forgive everything else if He, for whomsoever He wishes, but not the sin of shirk. No, that's not, that's the red line. Allah is not going to forgive the shirk. الْجَاحِدُ لِوَلَايَةِ عَلِيٍّ. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, الْجَاحِدُ لِوَلَايَةِ. Somebody who denies the walayat of Ali alayhi salam, كَعَابِدِ وَثَنِ. Is like the worshipper of an idol. فَقُلْتُ جُعِلْتُ فَدَاكَ. I said to the Imam, may my life be sacrificed for you. هَلْ تَعْرِفُونَ مُحِبَّكُمْ وَمُبْغِضَكُمْ. Do you recognize who is your lover and who is the person who hates you? قَالَ يَا أَبَا سُلَيْمَانَ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يُولَدْ إِلَّا كُتِبَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ مُؤْمِنْ أَوْ كَافِرٌ. There is no child who is born except that it's written between his eyes, mu'min or kafir. So right here on the forehead, every single human, it is written on the forehead, this guy is a mu'min or kafir. Obviously, we don't see it, the imams can see it. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَدْخُلُ إِلَيْنَا بِوَلَايَتِنَا وَبِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْ أَعْدَائِنَا فَنَرَى مَكْتُوبًا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ مُؤْمِنْ أَوْ كَافِرٌ. قال الله عز وجل إن في ذلك لآيات للمتوسمين نعرف عدونا من ولينا. So our imams can recognize each and every person where, you know, whenever anybody shows up in front of them, they can just see it is written on their forehead. Another narration also from بصائر الدرجات. This is from Al-Asbagh ibn Nubata, very famous Sahabi of Amir Mumuneen, the one who stayed till the end of the life of Imam Ali Salam, the final moment when Imam Hassan Ali Salam asked everybody else to leave, and Asbagh was the last person to stay close to the house of Imam Ali Salam, and then Imam Hassan took permission and brought him inside, and Asbagh was the last companion to talk to Imam Ali Salam, the same Asbagh ibn Nubata. He says, "Kuntu ma'a Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam fa ataahu rajul." I was with Imam Ali salam. A person came to him, fasallam alayh, said his salam to Imam Ali salam. Thumma qal ya Amir al-Mu'minin. Then he addressed Imam Ali salam. Inni wallahi la uhibbuka fi Allah. I certainly love you. I swear to Allah, I love you for the sake of Allah, and I love you wa uhibbuka fi sir kama uhibbuka fi al-alaniyya. And I love you in the hidden, the way I love you in the open. وَأُذِينُ اللَّهَ بِوَلَايَتِكَ فِي السِّرِّ كَمَا أُذِينُ بِهَا فِي الْعَلَانِيَّةِ. And I practice your walayat in the hidden the way I practice your walayat in the open. So وَبِيَدِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عُودٌ فَطَأْطَأَ بِهِ رَأْسَهُ ثُمَّ نَكَتَ بِعُودِهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Imam had a stick, he stretched the stick, made a line on the earth with his stick. ثُمَّ رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ. Then he raised his head. فَقَالَ إِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And then Imam Ali said, certainly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam حَدَّثَنِي بِأَلْفِ حَدِيثٍ. Prophet talked to me 1,000 hadith. لِكُلِّ حَدِيثٍ أَلْفُ bab. For every hadith there are 1,000 chapters. وَإِنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَلْتَقِي فِي الْهَوَىٰ فَتَشَامُ. And the souls of the mu'mins meet each other in the hawa and they smell. فَمَا تَعَارَفَ مِنْهَا اِتَلَفَ. Those of the souls which recognize each other, get connected with each other, get familiar with each other. وَمَا تَنَاكَرَ مِنْهَا اِخْتَلَفَ. Those of the souls that do not get in sync with each other are having difference with each other, get separate, differ with each other. In other words, وَيْحَكَ. And then he says, لَقَدْ كَذِبْتَ. You lied. فَمَا أَعْرِفُ وَجْهَكَ فِي الْوُجُوهِ. I don't recognize your face among the faces. وَلَا إِسْمَكَ مِنَ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ. Nor do I recognize your name, nor your name among the names. And ثُمَّ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ آخَرُ. Then another person entered and he said similar statement to Imam Ali Salam. يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ. I love you for the sake of Allah, and I love you in the hidden the way I love you in the open, and I practice your walayat. This is my behavior towards Allah, that I basically practice your walayat in the hidden the way I practice your walayat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open. And then it's a long narration that at the end Imam Ali al-Islam says, Sadaqta, you tell the truth. Inna tīnatana tīnatan makhzūna. Our clay, the soil which was from which we were created, in other words, our soil was a treasured soil. إن طينتنا طينة مخزونة, a treasured soil. أخذ الله ميثاقها من صلب آدم. Allah took its ميثاق from the lineage of Adam. فلم يشز منها شاذ. Nothing escaped from that. اذهب واتخذ للفقر جلبابا. Go and choose poverty as your dress. فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول, because I heard the Prophet saying, the Messenger of Allah saying, يا علي والله الفقر أسرع إلى محبين من السيل إلى بطن الوادي. That Prophet said to Imam Ali السلام, that O Ali, I swear to Allah, poverty is faster towards our lovers than water storm, when the water storm comes towards a valley. Just imagine how water flows so fast downward towards the valley. The fakr and poverty is faster towards our lovers than the flow of water towards the valley downward. So it's not without a reason that all these supporters of Ahlul Bayt were poor throughout the history. So Quran is Quran and Takwini, like I mentioned the previous Thursday, which means Quran and Takwini means the Takwini book. The Takwini book we mean the creatures of Allah, the universe that Allah created. This is Quran and Takwini. This is also ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mazahir and majali, these are also mazhar and reflections of Allah's names, that if which is for Ahlul Basira, for those who have basirat can witness the ayat and the mazahir and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creatures around us. This is Quranun Takwini, and the book Quran is called the Quranun Tadwini. That's the compiled Quran, and this one is the Quran belonging to the nature, the world of existences, and this one is a compiled Quran in the bookish form. So both are Quran, and both of them, our Urafa say, are Samitun Natiq. Both are silent speakers. They are Samit, they are silent, plus they are Natiq, they are also speakers. And again, Imam Ali Salam, Khutbah number 91, Nahj al-Balagha, he says, فَصَارَ كُلُّ مَا خَلَقَ حُجَّةً لَهُ وَدَلِيلًا عَلَيْهِ. Everything that he created became hujjat for the sake of Allah, وَدَلِيلًا عَلَيْهِ, and a guide towards Allah. In other words, وَإِنْ كَانَ خَلْقًا صَامِتًا, although it may be a silent creature, فَحُجَّتُهُ بِالتَّدْبِيرَ النَّاطِقَةِ, the hujjat of Allah with the tadbir and the plan of his speaking up. The hujjat of Allah is the speaking. Hujjat talks about the Allah's plan. And وَدَلَالَتُهُ, and its guidance, عَلَى الْمُبْدِعِ قَائِمَةِ, and the guidance of the creatures. The creatures are also guiding toward us towards Allah. And the guidance that the creatures around us are providing towards Allah is also standing. This guidance is standing. Now, how to combine the silence and the speaking of the Quran and the silence and the speaking of the world of existences around us? Both are ayat of Allah, both are madhar, reflections of Allah's names. Now, madhar of Allah, I mean. So, we find obviously the way our scholars say is that it requires fikrun sahih and tadabbur. If you think on correct lines, in the mantiqi and logical way, and the correct way of tadabbur and pondering and thinking, you will get the jawab and response from the world of existences. If you think correctly and logically, similarly, It is true about the Holy Quran. If you want to get a response back from the Quran for about anything that you are wondering about, you want to get a response, it requires the correct thinking and the logical thinking and logical approach, and you will get an answer from the Quran. So the fikrun sahih, correct thinking, is the key to get an answer from the existences, the Quran and Tadwini, Taqwini, and from the Quran, which is in the bookish form, the Quranun Tadwini. Both require the correct thinking. That's where the role of correct questions comes in. Isn't it right? Putting the question in the right way. The hadith says that husnu su'al nisful ilm, asking the questions in a nice way is half of the knowledge. If you are eligible to put your question nicely, that shows you know you're half the way through. You already know the answer, half of it. Husnu su'al nisful ilm. So Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, I will end my speech here. Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam says that in his message to Muawiyah, that amma ba'd, fa'in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa'in Allah qad خلق الدنيا إن الله خلق الدنيا لما بعدها وجعل فيها أهلها ليبتلى بها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the dunya for the state after it, for the state marhala, the level, the time after that stage. Allah created it for what is after it. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا أَهْلَهَا لِيُبْتَلَى بِهَا. And Allah provided the dwellers of earth, ahl of earth, ahali, the people who, the things who live on earth, Allah made it ahl of the earth to be to be tested. لِيُبْتَلَى بِهَا. فَجَعَلَ أَحَدَنَا حُجَّةً عَلَى الْآخَرِ. فَابْتَلَاكَ اللَّهُ فَابْتَلَاكَ بِي فَابْتَلَانِ اللَّهُ بِكَ وَابْتَلَاكَ بِي. So Allah tested me through you, and you through me. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is tested by Allah. How would Imam Ali alayhi salam behave with having an opponent which has zero principles in his life? He just worships his interests, his material interests. A man who is worse than the wild animals, he can do whatever for the love of dunya and the hirs and greed of money. Isn't it right? For that kind of person, Imam Ali alayhi salam is tested with this kind of opponent, and he is tested with such an adil imam like Imam Ali alayhi salam. فَجَعَلَ أَحَدَنَا حُجَّةً عَلَى الْآخَرِ. Allah made each one of us a hujjat against the other. فَعَدَوْتَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بِتَعْوِيلِ الْقُرْآنِ. So you embraced this dunya, you came towards this dunya through the ta'wil of Quran. That means you are doing the tafsir birra'i. You are misinterpreting the Quran to support your policy. وَطَلَبْتَنِي بِمَا لَمْ تَجْنَ يَدَيَّ or yadi. And you are basically holding me accountable for what my hand did not commit. وَلَا لِسَانِي, nor did my tongue. وَأَصَيْتَهُ أَنْتَ وَأَهْلُ الشَّامِ بِي. So this is how the situation is. So Quran, the behavior towards the Muawiyah is on the same time, at the same time when he's disobeying the walayat of Imam Ali Salam, at the same time he's disobeying towards Quran as well. That's what we are discussing, that the behavior of a person which is towards the walayat of the Imam is exactly the similar behavior he will have towards the haqiqat of Quran. You cannot separate the behavior of people. Any person who turns his back from the walayat and goes towards the tahuts, he will have the similar behavior towards Quran as well. So this is a clear example in front of us. Muawiyah, who is trying to do the ta'wil of Quran, what has Muawiyah to do with Quran? What does he know about Quran? Not even A, B, C, D of Quran, Alif, Ba of Quran is not known to him. But he was the one who was doing the ta'wil of Quran, the misinforming the people about the real meanings of Quran. And there are stupid and silly people around in abundance who are ready to consider, you know, this male camel as a she camel. Isn't that right? And they come and bear witness in front of Muawiyah that this is a she camel, a naqa. And this supporter of Imam Ali Islam ends up saying, well, it's not even a she camel, it's a jamal, it's a male camel. So these are these kind of silly people who are around Muawiyah to support him, and his agenda was moving forward because of the himaqat of the people who are muttahid on their batil wali, battle leader. And the same is true today. The people's simple-mindedness, their engagement in lahv and la'ib, away from and ghaflat, away from the remembrance of Allah, is the best tool used by the zalim governments to keep them away from the real issues and to make them subservient towards the battle policies of the taghut. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين قاسم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's read the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam.